We want to look at principles of faith today. The story of the centurion is recorded in Matthew chapter 8, as was read before. And Jesus marvels at this man's faith. He says, "Such faith I have not found, not even in Israel." Did he put Israel to shame with this? Was he trying to take a stab at Israel and say, "Look, this is what we need. This kind of faith. Forget about all your religious knowledge, all your theology that you hold on to so dearly. Forget about being a religious leader. If you don't have faith, what difference does it make?" And I think it is ironic that oftentimes religious leaders and ministers and theologians who aspire towards spiritual things, we forget the simplicity and the sincerity of great faith. And I think all of us will struggle with this issue in our lives. This is why I am preparing lessons for the Bible course in Elmer, speaking about growing in faith and our life of prayer. And I hope some of you young people can attend, because I don't want to do all this work for nothing. But believe me, if you're not there, you'll probably hear it later in the sermons. But we must never lose sight of the simple message of the gospel. And the simplicity of the gospel message is this: believe with all your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and trust him with everything in your life. Follow him faithfully, no matter what life throws at you. It sounds simple, right? That's the synopsis of the gospel. The gospel isn't complicated, and Jesus wanted to, he wanted to emphasize this here to Israel. "Look, I haven't found this simple, great faith that I was looking for." It's like he was pointing out. He said, "Aha, aha, this is what I'm looking for. Faith like this centurion." A centurion was a captain of 100 soldiers. That's why he's called centurion. He had 100 soldiers under his command. And whatever he told them, the orders he gave them, they had to do those things. If not, there were dire consequences. Now look at this story again. The centurion comes to Jesus, and he tells him something. He just simply tells him, "My servant is deathly ill at home." Do you notice that the centurion doesn't directly ask Jesus to heal him? He makes Jesus aware of the situation. He reveals to Jesus his great burden for his servant, because his servant was very dear to him. Well, Jesus could have objected and said, "You shouldn't have a servant in the first place." Or he could have objected in different ways. I believe that this centurion wanted to assess the Lord's will, the Lord's response to this simple, not a request, a simple giving of information if you will. Because a Roman soldier, especially centurions, were feared. They were often frowned upon in Israel. They were not looked upon favorably by most people. So he knew asking a Jew, and Jesus was known as a Jew, to actually do a great favor for him would be a lot to expect. So I think he wondered whether Jesus would even consider taking the time to help a mere servant of his. It wasn't even for himself. But without hesitation, once Jesus hears of it, he says, I will come and I'll heal him. And it is the response that the centurion gives that moves Jesus to these profound words, I have not found such great faith in Israel. There's four important points that I want to make here of what kind of faith he had and what kind of faith we need as fathers and as believers in Christ. First of all, great faith begins as a follower of Christ, learning to know him personally. I think one of the reasons that the centurion was very hesitant in this whole situation and where he didn't approach Jesus right away to ask him to heal his servant was that he probably thought, well, I haven't really developed a good relationship with Jesus, and what right do I have to approach him and boldly ask him for his intervention? But it is obvious that the centurion understood one thing, and that was authority. Many people don't realize, even believers, as believers, we don't realize the authority of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Father. Yes, a father also has authority, and with authority, a responsibility. So Jesus didn't just have authority, he had responsibility. He felt responsible to help people, if you want to put it in that light. So the centurion understood Christ's position and authority. And this is very clear. He says simply, I have servants under me, and if I say to one, go do this, he does it. I have the other one, a soldier, and says, go carry out this act, and he does it. But when it came to his servant's healing, he knew that only Jesus had the authority, that he is Lord over illness. And this is a very deep insight that you and I need to have. As we develop our relationship with Jesus Christ as followers of Jesus, we will then become enabled to approach God with confidence in the sense that our hearts are surrendered to the purpose of his will. Realizing that he is an authority, he is our Lord, we are under his authority, and everything we ask is under his authority. If he commands, it will be done. The scripture says it this way, and this is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, in other words, if our conscience is clear before God, then we have confidence toward God. And this is the confidence that we need. You and I need this. All of Us fathers need this confidence. Whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In other words, we are under his authority. We are pleasing him. We are seeking to please him in all things, not just when we're in need, not just when we have a bad day, not just when we're sick or someone in our family is sick that we call on God then, but no, we are pleasing to him. We have this living, intimate relationship with him. That is why we can become confident in our prayer life, that we know without a shadow of a doubt that whatever he commands will happen. See, the motives of a great faith are pure. The motives of a great faith are in harmony with God's will. The centurion was bold enough to bring his need to Jesus, but he was not presumptuous in a way because he respected authority positions. He was in authority over his soldiers, but he saw Jesus as being authority over him and over diseases and over sin, over everything. And this is included in great faith. And his faith was so pure and was so in harmony with God's will that he was not coming to Jesus demanding and says, well, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, you better show us. You better prove it to us. No, none of that. He wasn't cocky. He wasn't overconfident. See, his concern was not for himself. His concern was for the suffering and the dire need of someone else, whom he loved, by the way. It is necessary that we strive to be in the will of God in respect to our desires and requests. The scripture clearly indicates that God answers those prayers that are in accordance to his will. And the first thing that God wants to look at us, that our motives are pure. That we come humbly before him, not demanding, but humbly, as he has commanded us. That we pray in the assurance that it is God's will and the desired answers will come. Prayer should not be viewed as merely a way to obtain our own wishes, but a means that God uses to perpetrate his own desires. In other words, God should always be glorified through our prayers. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. What is he talking about? We have confidence in him. We know who he is. We know who we are. We know that he is Lord over all. He is our Lord, our Savior. He cares for us. He is our provider, our healer, our everything, our Redeemer. We have this confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. In other words, that he is so almighty, he is so involved in our lives that the result of our prayers are simply the ones that he has given us, the thoughts that he has given us to pray a certain way. See, God's will is revealed to us through his word. And we can possess faith for anything that is in God's word. And we can use God's word as part of our prayers. James chapter 4 starts rather a little rocky, I think. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. And then he goes on to say, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. In other words, you have a carnality, a self-will, a evil desire of the flesh that you would like to, something is uncomfortable to you and you would like to just get rid of it. God wants to lead you deeper, but you don't want to go deeper. You just want this to be gone so that you can move on with your life, but you don't learn the important lesson, the depths of faith that God wants to lead you into. That's what James is saying here. So my question is, are most of our requests based upon our own selfish interests or on materialistic wants, or are they based on God's word? Our faith needs to be beyond what we want for ourselves. The centurion came to Jesus not even asking anything for himself. He asked for his servant. Now, he also came with a humble heart. And humility and grace are always hand in hand. It's a compassion that God wants to show those that he loves and blesses when we come humbly before him. And this is no doubt visible here in this story. The centurion comes and he wants Jesus to be honored. Jesus says, I will come and heal your servant. I want to do a miracle in your servant's life. And what does the centurion say? Oh, my servant is not worthy enough to see you. Is that what he said? No. He said, listen, Jesus, I am not worthy that you come under my roof. I am unworthy. As a centurion, yes, I command 100 soldiers. So what? You are Lord over everything. And this is the true sign of great faith. Humility and saying, Lord, I'm unworthy. And then, this is the wonderful thing. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, the Bible says. What God does is not because you and I deserve it, not because we are worthy, but it is because of his love, his grace, and his compassion only. It's his mercy. And what is clear here is that great faith comes out here because it's a complete trust in Jesus' words. And I pray for myself that I would have such a trust in Jesus' words and his teachings and his promises as a centurion had. You know what he said here? Well, we know it already. He said, just speak the word. I trust you, Lord Jesus, so much. I trust your authority. If you give a command, Lord Jesus, it will be done. This is why Jesus marveled at this great faith. And may Jesus marvel at your faith and mine as we put our complete trust in God's word and his promises. Sometimes we are so used to going to church, and I told Ezekiel the other day, I said, sometimes we sit on the premises instead of standing on the promises. But the songwriter said, we are standing on the promises. We trust completely in the word of Jesus, the words of Jesus. Abraham was a great example of this. And it says in Romans 4, verse 20 to 21, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, he would also, was also be able to perform. This is why Abraham is called the father of faith. Because he was fully convinced what God has promised, he is able to perform. He doesn't speak empty words. He doesn't give us empty promises. He gives us promises to hold on to, but it's up to us whether we trust with our hearts in these promises of God. And that's what this centurion teaches us. That's why Jesus says, this is such great faith. I wish everybody had it. I wish Israel had it. I wish the whole world had this faith. And in summary, I would say Jesus would look at us today and say, I wish all Christian fathers have this faith. Faith that understands with the heart that Jesus' words are enough to heal diseases, to bring back a lost child, to do miracles, even in our day and time. May God bless us and strengthen our faith and help us to truly hold on to this great faith that he has given us. And may he help us to practice this faith every day, and that we show faithfulness to him in all things, to the next generations. Amen.